new mechanism of distribution and appropriation of textual and graphical objects, and all across Europe, advances in printing technologies, improved media distribution network, the advent of a polyglot cultural elite in European capitals allowed for the development of an international cultural market whose values became uniform. And we have some, like, the insight of Stefan Zweig in Die Welt von gestern, so the world from yesterday, who shows how an elitist European culture circulated through international periodicals at the Belle Époque. And so he say, a Viennese coffee house of the better sort took all the Viennese newspapers available, and not only those, but the newspapers of the entire German Reich, as well as the French, British, Italian, and American papers, and all the major literary and artistic international magazines, the Mercure de France, as well as the Neue Rundschau, the Studio, and the Burlington Magazine. So we knew everything that was going on in the world at first hand. We heard about every book that came out, every theatrical performance, wherever it took place, and we compared the reviews in all the newspapers. Perhaps nothing contributed so much to the intellectual mobility and international orientation of Austrians as the fact that they could inform themselves so extensively at the coffee house of all that was going on in the world, and at the same time could discuss it with a circle of friends. And in fact, the same process happened in Paris, in London, in Berlin, and Zweig indicates two fundamental facts in the advent of this cosmopolitan culture. The international distribution of cultural periodicals on a European scale, and simultaneously the existence of social spaces where this culture, far from being passively received, was the subject of a collective interpretation. But he forgot some periodicals that are less prestigious but equally important in the definition of an international aesthetics, satirical and popular magazine like Le Rire, L'Assiette au Beurre, Le Cri de Paris in France, or like Kladderadatsch or Jungen in Germany. And my hypothesis is that we can approach this phenomenon through the concept of virality, which refers to the distribution and reproduction of information in a network of individuals. The philosophers and sociologists of the time in France, like Tard, Durkheim, or Le Bon, indeed considered the circulation of styles and ideas as a kind of mental contagion. Ideas, texts, and images were reprinted and appropriated all across Europe through non-hierarchical networks. I will try to analyze the conditions that permitted the development of what can be called a culture of virality in Europe at the end of the 19th century, particularly through the study of the major culture of the time. And I will try to show that an international culture appeared then thanks to a specific style, which can be called syntheticism, which relied on abstraction and deformation. And this style was invented at the same time in the modernist magazine and in the periodicals of mass consumption. So the first thing would be the concept of virality as a new form of culture. Virality, you have heard it about the internet and so on, but it's not a recent mechanism. In fact, the rise of the periodicals in the 19th century, coupled with the new technologies of reproduction like print, photomechanical devices and so on, allowed the advent of new kinds of cultural objects, both textual and graphical, which were tailored for an easy circulation through reprinting. One can observe the mechanism of this culture of reprinting through the example of the anarchist discourse in France at the end of the 19th century. We can essentially analyze the shapes taken by the anarchist movement at the time as a consequence of the industrialization of the press. The anarchists of the time distanced themselves from the socialists in the International Conference of 1872. And since they didn't believe in the democratic process, some of them tended to promote the use of violence as a way to undermine the basis of the Western society. And the idea to use violence to advance their political agenda came at the same time as the advent of the first mass media periodicals, cheap newspapers which were sold at 5 centimes or 1 sou, which was the smallest amount possible, like Le Petit Journal. No, this is not this one. With a circulation of more than a million copies every day at the end of the century. Newspaper circulation only increased, and the main titles had a kind of rivalry to attract new readers with the creation of illustrated weekly supplements in the 1880s. And in these periodicals, the most interesting texts and images were reprinted and appropriated with no regard for copyright law whatsoever. And a single text could be reprinted hundreds of times on an international scale, as shown by the viral text project of Ryan Caldwell in the American media. But the same thing can be told of the European media of the time. The anarchists were aware of the existence of this mechanism of virality, of reproduction of the more striking texts and images, and they used it for their propaganda on an international level. It is in this context that the anarchist bombing of the end of the century can be explained. Violence can only be expected to have an impact if people are aware of its existence, and the bombing of the French Parliament in December of 1893 made no victim. It's what's depicted in here. The engine used was merely a big firework. But the multiplication of this kind of picture, which tries to represent a moment that no camera could capture, has a much bigger impact than the explosion itself. Those pictures were by no means original. Most of the time, the one with the biggest impact on the readers were simply copied by other periodicals. And one can see a phenomenon of mirroring due to the nature of the reproductive process. The editors asked illustrators to copy the picture, then were then carved on wood, hence the reversal of perspective. And people, a picture from the French press, were copied on an international scale. For example, here on the illustrated London newspaper, and this one, I don't remember, but it's also in London. The anarchist bombings must so be correlated with this culture of fame and of entertainment of the end of the 19th century. Their strength comes from the shock value and the easily reproduction of their message in the mass media. I wanted to see if the anarchist discourse was written according to the same principle. Are there fragments of violent texts that are reproduced from one periodical to another? Do anarchist-leaning writers develop a kind of viral writing style where the meaning is less important than the shock of the warning? One example of this kind of viral circulation is a sentence from Laurent Tailliade, who was a famous anarchist poet of the time. And he was interviewed by Paul Brulat, a guest of a banquet organized by a little magazine, La Plume, the same day as the bombing of the Chambre des députés by Vaillant, the same day as the bombing that was depicted on Le Petit Journal. And so the journalist used this occasion to ask the writers and the artists gathered to celebrate Rodin what they thought of this terrorist attack. And Laurent Tailliade answered, "Qu'importe les victimes, si le geste est beau." Never mind the victims if the gesture is beautiful. And this sentence is reproduced a great number of time in the newspaper, especially after the Foyot restaurant bombing, another bombing where Tailliade himself, ironically, became a victim of the gesture. And so the irony is not lost on the journalist, and his sentence is reproduced a great number of times. I found more than 40 occurrences of the sentence between 1893 and 1894 in French newspapers, but also in international newspaper. For example, in Italy, at Bolzano, in a German newspaper, you have this translation, "Was liegt an dem Tod einiger unbestimmten Erdmenschen, wenn nur die Gäste denn des Bombenwerfens schön ist." Another one in Germany, in the Berliner Tageblatt, in 1894. You have the same thing. Another one in the Berliner Börsenzeitung, with a same reproduction of the sentence in French. "Ah, ça n'a pas été d'un beau geste." In Estonia, even, in Esti Postime. And of course, for example, in Great Britain, with the English word petard, hoist with his own petard, which shows the idea of shock and dissemination at the same time, with an affectation of artlessness, which is the sure sign of a nature pitifully weak morally and intellectually. He pretended to justify the action of Vaillant, the anarchist, by asking, what matters the death of vague humanities, provided the deed is nobly and artistically executed. So newspapers love to spread this kind of information, even if they are aware that they play the game of the anarchist. And so I want to stress one last time that international anarchism, in the particular form that it takes in the end of the 19th century, is a consequence of this mass media culture, and bombs and murders can be described as communicational devices, and the anarchist writings of this period are written to cause the same effect as a bomb on the reader, but especially on other journalists or writers, so that they tend to copy the anarchist words in their articles. And so it is a new form of culture based on repetition, reprinting, and virality. The second part of this paper was to try to understand what kind of technological innovation made this culture based on virality possible. One such innovation is the technique of the stereotype that was that played a great role in the advent of an international culture. In the beginning of the 19th century, printers invented ways to reproduce whole pages of text and images by using a sort of plaster cast to make a facsimile of typographical forms. And a periodical like the Penny Magazine, which was created in London in 1832, used to sell its facsimiles, so all pages ready to print, to other countries like Germany or France or the United States, so that they could print their own versions of the magazine. And they justified themselves in an article titled The Commercial History of a Penny Magazine in 1833 about the images. The art of woodcutting is imperfectly understood in France and Germany. We sell, therefore, to France and Germany casts of our woodcuts at a tenth of what it would cost them to have them re-engraved. These countries are thus enabled to produce their Magasin Pittoresque and their Finnish magazine. And you have an example here of the Magasin Pittoresque, which was created in France in 1833, not only on the model of the Penny Magazine, you have the exact same format, but it also makes use of the same wood engravings in the new context. So this kind of periodicals and this kind of technological innovation create a form of cultural standardization throughout Europe. And all through the 19th century, the technological means to reprint, reproduce, and appropriate text and images progress immensely. And at the end of the 19th century, you can easily reproduce, make a cliché of any kind of text or images so that it can be reproduced in a new form the day after. And these technologies, what I want to show is that these technologies have great consequences on the cultural objects themselves. The styles, which are more easily reproduced, tend to thrive, and simple and effective shapes and texts are valued because they can be easily reprinted, and so the abstraction becomes an important feature of the culture of the time. This is where the idea of synthesis becomes important. I wanted to show that what can be described as a synthetic style, both in text and in picture, developed at the end of the 19th century in the vanguard periodicals before it spread in the popular press. In the last years of the 19th century, there are a group of French and Belgian writers, artists, men of theatres, but also poster artists, cartoonists, comedians, that put at the center of their aesthetic beliefs the concept of synthesis, a kind of formal simplification, which use abstraction, ellipse, and distortion to produce obscure texts and work of a skillful naïveté. Mallarmé writes synthetic poems. At the Théâtre de l'Œuvre, Luniepo creates an abstract stage set for modernist plays such as those of Ibsen or Maeterlinck, with the help of synthetist painters such as Pierre Bonnard, such as Emile Bernard. Books are illustrated with striking drawings reminiscent of the medieval wood engravings, such as those of Félix Vallotton, of Rémy de Gourmont, of Alfred Jarry, of Max Elskamp, of Aubrey Beardsley, of Camille Pissarro. And so these synthetic aesthetics are elaborated primarily in the little magazine of that period, Le Mercure de France, La Revue Blanche, L'Hermitage, The Yellow Book, and so on. And they became both spaces of literary and graphic experiments and forums to discuss these aesthetics. And synthetism is described in these magazines as a way to escape the commodification of culture by creating objects as the opposite of the naturalist taste of the bourgeoisie. But soon, in fact, these vanguard writers and painters find themselves working for periodicals of mass consumption throughout Europe. Artists like Félix Vallotton and Toulouse-Lautrec publish their drawing in modernist magazines such as La Plume or La Revue Blanche, or in satirical periodicals of mass consumption as Le Rire or La Cité au Beurre, which were sold at more than hundreds of thousands of copies. On the other hand, drawings made by cartoonists in the satirical periodicals often have nothing to envy to the most experimental paintings by their formal audacity. And for example, the drawings of Ruby at the left use the same Japanese perspective than those of Toulouse-Lautrec. And Ruby was only a cartoonist, and he was in no way a vanguard artist. An artist like Josso, another example of this kind of thing. An artist like Josso published both in a symbolist magazine like L'Imagier of Alfred Jarry and Rémy de Gourmont, or La Plume, and in satirical periodicals as La Cité au Beurre, or in a bibliophic periodical like L'Estampe et l'Affiche. Alfred Jarry, Jules Renard published their texts both in modernist magazines and in satirical periodicals. And so I wanted to say that this phenomenon can be explained by the viral nature of the press at the end of the 19th century. This kind of cultural objects are particularly susceptible to different forms of appropriation, be it through direct reprinting or through pastiche and copy. Vallotton's and Toulouse-Lautrec styles, for example, are soon copied by other illustrators like Delos, Ruby, or Métivet. So here you have Vallotton, here it's Herman Paul, and here is Delos, a cartoonist in Le Rire, which clearly draws inspiration from Vallotton. The ease with which this kind of drawings accommodate to reprinting also explain their circulation in the pages of the European periodicals. Vallotton, Delos, Josso are often reprinted in periodicals such as Simplicissimus in Munich, Jungen, and so on. So there really are appeared a lot in this kind of periodical of the time. And in fact, so much so as synthesis, so the even becomes a synonym for plagiarism, like it's so easy to reproduce that it's a form of plagiarism, as shown in this drawing by Franz Stuck, which was first published in the satirical periodical Kladderadatsch in Berlin, and which was reprinted in France in Le Rire in 1896. So at the same time, it's a drawing about syntheticism and a drawing that, because it is synthetic, can easily be reproduced in other magazines. And so it shows a child who signs the synthetist drawing of someone else with its own name, and he justifies himself by saying that he practices synthesis. Comment chenapan tu oses mettre ta signature au bas de ce pastel? Pardonnez-moi, monsieur le professeur, je ne faisais que m'exercer à la synthèse. So to be synthetist is to be to have this kind of easily reproducible style. And the best example of the emergence of this international aesthetic based on synthesis may be found in the art of the poster. Posters are often republished through different technical means in the periodicals across Europe. La Plume often publishes example of Les Murs en Amérique. So we've got the original poster and the way it is reproduced in La Plume. And for example, the international magazine Pan, Pan of Berlin, shows example of the Plakatkunst in its pages in 1896. These reprintings are made possible by the photomechanical innovation of the time, and the magazines are proud to show this kind of what they call reduction. The people behind those posters are the same artists who published in the Vanguard and satirical newspaper, Toulouse-Lautrec, Pierre Bonnard, Mucha, and so on. And so these posters are really good examples of a new kind of cultural object in a European culture of the time. Autonomous, easily reproducible text and drawing that can be extracted from their original context, transformed, appropriated without much damage. And to conclude, I want to focus on one last aspect of this object, which is their commercial nature. Most of the time, this international culture takes the form of the advertisement. There is a kind of contamination between advertisement and art, as can be shown from these advertisement pages of the periodicals of the time, where the drawings and the advertisement merge to the point of not being distinguishable. Here you have pages of advertisement. On the right, it's a drawing by Delos, which was one of the famous illustrators of Le Rire, and at the same time, it's an advertisement for la boraxine qui arrête rapidement la chute de cheveux. So it's a way to stop the fall of hair. And so you don't know, are you reading something that is supposed to be funny? Is it an advertisement or a drawing? I would argue that the spread of the synthetic style from the Vanguard magazine to the popular periodicals can be explained by a form of convergence between their aesthetics and what Marx calls the commodity fetishism. The merchandise, reduced to an abstraction, possesses the same kind of characteristic as the modernist cultural objects. They are meant to be subjective, striking, and easily reproduced. And this characteristic can explain the birth of an international culture based on virality. Thank you very much.